Amen. Father, we thank you, we worship you, we love you, we adore you and exalt you. Thank you, Lord, for regularly and weekly and frequently bringing us to your presence, that we will hear your word, understand your mind, know your will, and have the grace to punch the life you have given us and to live the life that will glorify you, getting us ready for heaven. Lord, we're praying that everyone here today, those inside, those outside, we will concentrate on your word in Jesus' name. As you give us the instruction that will lead us to life eternal, and that will take us to glory, none of us will be negligent in Jesus' name. Use everything, Lord, to grant us all the experiences we need to be able to get to heaven at last. The experience of genuine salvation, experience of real sanctification, experience of true righteousness that will take us home to glory. Do it in every life, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Good, amen. Amen. God bless you. We're coming to James chapter 3. And today we're looking at verse 13 all through to verse 16. We're thinking about and we're talking about and we're meditating on and we're perceiving what the word of God says about wisdom. Wisdom, very essential. Wisdom, very important. There are many things, there are different kinds of wisdom. The wisdom that leads us to a profitable life, to a good life, to a successful life. The wisdom that makes us discover the kingdom of God and the condition of getting into that kingdom, and the wisdom to accept that, to receive that, to understand and apply to our personal lives, the wisdom that makes us get saved, the wisdom that gets us into the kingdom and makes us remain in the kingdom, the wisdom that makes us to live in an acceptable way unto the Lord, and the wisdom that is always thinking of the future and always measuring our action, our utterance, our interaction with the goal of getting to heaven at last. Of course, you know, there is another kind of wisdom, the wisdom that does not think about life, how to make it to heaven, how to live a life glorifying to God, a life that God will approve of, the kind of wisdom that comes from the power of darkness and makes people to live in forgetfulness of their eternal future. What we want to have is the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge that helps us to be who we ought to be in the presence of God. We're looking at James chapter 3. And I'm reading from verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? It's asking a question, and everyone would have to answer that. But the verbal answer we give is not sufficient. It is the kind of action that follows that answer. It is the kind of behavior that follows that answer. It is the kind of spiritual experience we have in the Lord that people can see, that will tell the real answer to that question. Who is a wise man? Who is a wise woman? Who is a wise Christian? Who is a wise believer and is endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with knowledge, with meekness, with lowliness, with love, with responsibility towards God, with the wisdom, with the meekness of wisdom. Meekness of wisdom, humility of wisdom, and the lowliness of wisdom. There's no pride in true wisdom, and there is no misbehavior in true wisdom. True wisdom will have meekness and lowliness and humility and the fruit of the Spirit. We're looking at the place of wisdom in man's life and in man's destiny. We're looking at three things here today. Number one, the essence and discernment of excellent spiritual divine wisdom. Look at number two. Number two is the exemplary deeds of enlightened, supportive, distinguished wisdom. Number three is the evidence and deadliness of earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom. You know what the Bible tells us? It says there's a kind of wisdom that comes from the devil, and it says it is devilish wisdom. There is a kind of wisdom that is sensual, that is fleshly, that is carnal, and the Bible calls that sensual wisdom. There's a kind of wisdom that comes from evil and from envy and from everything that is not of God, and the Bible calls that the kind of wisdom. Give me verse 14. In verse 14, the Bible tells us in verse 14, it says in verse 14, but if ye have bitter envy and strive in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Verse 15, this wisdom, it says, descendeth not from above, but it is earthly, it is earthy, it is depraved, and that earthly wisdom cannot lead us into the heavenly glory. And so he talks about the earthly, the sensual, and the devilish wisdom. In verse 16, it says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Come to point number one now. Number one, the essence and discernment of excellent spiritual divine wisdom. The word of God tells us in James chapter 3, reading from verse 13, it says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? You can see the combination, the connection between wisdom and knowledge. Without knowledge, there can be no wisdom, because actually, wisdom is applied knowledge. The knowledge we have that we apply to our personal lives, the knowledge we have that we apply to our professional life, the knowledge we have that we apply to our earthly life, the knowledge we have that we apply to our domestic life, our family life, the knowledge we have that we apply to our Christian life. There's connection between the knowledge and wisdom. If we have knowledge but we don't apply, if we have knowledge but we don't consider, if we have knowledge and we don't look at the life we live and match with that knowledge, there'll be no wisdom. That's why it's saying, who is a wise man, and that man is endued with knowledge among you, let him show. There'll be an evidence. Let him show out of a good conversation his works, his action, his responsibility, his duty, his activities with the meekness of wisdom. It tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, reading there from verse 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 5. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. A wise man's heart will be discerning. That's why we're looking at this, number one, as the essence and discernment of excellent spiritual divine wisdom. You'll discern. And what gives us the discernment? How do I know this is right? How do I know that is wrong? What wisdom do we have as human beings to say that's the right way and that is the evil way? That wisdom comes from the word of God. Why? Because God is the all-wise God. And because he's all-wise, he has shared his wisdom. He has revealed his wisdom unto us. And that wisdom we find in his word. Deuteronomy chapter 4. We're reading from verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Reading from verse 6. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, with which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What separated the children of Israel from all the other nations? What put a wall of demarcation between Israel and those pagan nations? In the word of God, as for physical energy, it was similar. As for physical, natural traits, they were similar. But the word of God that God gave the children of Israel that separated them. What makes a man different now from all the people around? What makes a woman different from all the people around? The word of God. That word of God is a wisdom. What separates a Christian family, a Christian marriage, from all the other families and all the other marriages around? It is the word of God. What separates a Christian worker from a secular worker? It is the word of God. If you don't apply the word of God, there's no wisdom. But when you come to the Lord, and anything you're doing, everything you're doing, you learn the commandments. You learn the precepts of the word. You learn the might of God, the word, the will, the way of God. And you apply yourself to the word of God, and you apply the word, his will, to your life. That's what makes the difference between the believer and the unbeliever, between the Christian professional and the secular professional person. It says in verse 7, it tells us, for what nation is there so great who has God so near unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, it says, and what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which is set, or which I set before you this day? It's just telling us that if we abandon the word of God, there's no more wisdom. If we abandon the commandments of God, There's no more wisdom. The wisdom we have is what the word of God gives us. Let me ask you, in the actions of your life, do you apply the word of God? When there is a situation in life that you find yourself in, do you remember to apply the word of God? And do you see the commandments there, the precepts there, that the Lord himself has called you to obey? Or are you divergent from the word of God and just do what you've seen other people do, and just do what somebody tells you who does not have the impute of the word of God in his life? When you live and you are not living according to the word, and you are just acting and just living, you might say you are born again, but you are not applying the wisdom of God, the word of God, into your life. It tells us in Matthew chapter 7, reading from verse 24, Jesus Christ had just concluded the Sermon on the Mount, revealing the word of God, the way of the Lord, and the will of God. And he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, whosoever a woman, whosoever a new convert, whosoever a long-standing believer, whosoever a minister, whosoever a member of the body of Christ, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. It's the word that makes us wise, and it is applying the word to our lives. And doeth them, Jesus our Lord and Savior said, I will liken her to a wise man, a wise woman. Then it goes on to say, which built his house upon a rock. Look at verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. Is that because he has so much of earthly wisdom? No, earthly wisdom would have made that house to crumble. But because he has the wisdom from above that is built and based on the word of Christ, that's why the house fell not, because it was founded upon a rock. It tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I'm reading here from verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, reading from verse 11. Wisdom is good with inheritance. Whatever inheritance we have, spiritually, materially, whatever inheritance we have from our parents, whatever inheritance we have from the provision on the cross, whatever inheritance we have to benefit from that inheritance, we need his wisdom. That's why it says wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, it says, for wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Wisdom giveth life. Not the wisdom of Absalom, not the wisdom of Ahithophel, not the wisdom of Joab, not the wisdom of Pharaoh. Let's hold them in captivity, lest when there is a war, then they come, they go to the enemy, and then they get out of the land. Not the wisdom like that, but the wisdom that is dictated and directed by the word of God. In fact, what you look at verse 13 there, in verse 13, it says, consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he has made crooked? It is the wisdom that comes from God that helps us to be so creative that you can turn things around for the better. It tells us in Jeremiah chapter 9, reading from verse 12, Jeremiah chapter 9, reading from verse 12, it says, who is the wise man that may understand this? Jeremiah says, where is the wise man? Many false prophets were there at the time of Jeremiah, and he was speaking, saying what the people wanted to hear. And he said all that to have the honor from the people, the praise of men. And so Jeremiah said, with all these people talking, who is the wise man, the wise prophet, the wise minister that may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord had spoken? You see the connection? The wise man is the one that the mouth of God has spoken to. The wise woman is the one that had opened her ears, and the voice of the Lord and the mouth of the Lord and the message from the Lord has so come directly unto her. And then he says that he may declare it. He says, for what the land, for what the land perisheth, and is burnt up like a wilderness that none passeth through. The Lord wants us to have the wisdom that comes from his mouth, the wisdom that comes from his word, because there's no other wisdom that can set our lives straight except the wisdom coming from him. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, it says, and the Lord says, because they are forsaking my law, which I set before them, and they have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein. Verse 14. In verse 14, but they have walked after the imagination of their own heart. That's what some people call wisdom. Their imagination, their thoughts, their ideology, their craftiness. That's what they call wisdom. And God said, they have walked in the imagination of their heart after Baalim, which their fathers taught them. In verse 15, verse 15 says, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, it says, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even these people, with wormwood, and give them the water of gall, bitter water, to drink. You know why? Because they forsook the knowledge of God, the revelation of God, the will of God, the word of God. And so they now follow the imagination of their heart. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Reading from verse 20, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 20. It says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? That's earthly wisdom. That's worldly wisdom. That's carnal wisdom. That's crafty wisdom. That is human wisdom. And God has made foolish the wisdom of this world. Verse 21. In verse 21, for after what? After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. The world by their wisdom, they didn't know the way to God. They didn't know the way of salvation. The world by worldly wisdom, by earthly wisdom, they do not know the way into the holiness experience. And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Show me a man, show me a woman that got sanctified by applying worldly wisdom. No man, no woman. Show me a man, show me a woman that is ready for the rapture by worldly wisdom. No, worldly wisdom does not bring righteousness, does not bring holiness. Worldly wisdom does not bring sanctification. Worldly wisdom does not bring circumcision of heart. Worldly wisdom cannot develop an Enoch that will be raptured and that will be taken to heaven. By the wisdom of the world, they knew not God. He pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Verse 22. In verse 22, for the Jews require sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. They leave the word of God, they are running and pursuing after wisdom. They leave the mind of God, they leave the revelation of God, and they're pursuing, they're running. And I say, Greek man, what are you running to? He says, I'm pursuing wisdom. I say, look at the Bible here. From Genesis to Revelation, it contains the mind of God, the will of God. This is the word of God, and this is wisdom. The Greek man says, no, no, I'm running after wisdom. How many people today, they have the Bible, they don't reach their Bible. Any situation applies in, comes in their lives, they don't apply the Bible, the message of the word of God that prepares us for heaven. And they're running and running and running. They're reading books, they're searching this and searching that. They're looking for wisdom. And the only wisdom that makes our lives as it should be, that will prepare us for heaven, is this word that he has given us. He tells us in verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Verse 24, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ, with all he provided at Calvary, Christ, with all the declaration of the word that he spoke, Christ, with all the revelation he brought from heaven, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Look at verse 31. In verse 30, he tells us here, he says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Christ. You have Christ as your Savior. You have Christ as the indwelling shepherd, that indwelling teacher that directs you. This is the way to go. That is the way to go. And you follow that. Christ in us, leading the way, directing us, instructing us, counseling us, making us to remember the word he has spoken unto us. He is made unto us wisdom, and he's made unto us righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I pray we listen to Christ in our heart, Christ in the Bible, and we'll lead our lives, direct our lives by the word he has given and taught in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at Colossians chapter 3. We're reading from verse 15. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your heart. If the Prince of Peace is there, if you are born again, if your life is built on the Prince of Peace, there'll be peace in your heart. There'll be peace all around you. There'll be peace in your action. Your action will not take peace from the hearts of other people. Your action will not take peace from the lives and the families of other people. It's when the Antichrist comes, it will take peace away from the world. And it's only those who have the spirit of the Antichrist working in them, operating in them, energizing them, instigating them, that will take peace away from the lives of other people, from the families of other people. So, as we're Christians and we're indwelt by Christ, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Verse 16. In verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. The word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. There is no situation on earth, there is no trial that can happen to a Christian, there's no temptation that comes to a believer, but the word will give you the way out. The word gives us wisdom in every area of our lives. And so, if the word of Christ dwells in you richly, it will give you all wisdom. And then it says there, it says, teaching and admonishing one another. In Psalms, the wisdom of God you'll find in Psalms, and hymns, spiritual songs, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, and whatsoever ye do, in word, whatever you say, in deed, in action, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That's how we have the wisdom of God, the wisdom that directs us to live the way we ought to live. We're coming to point number two now. Point number two, the exemplary deeds of enlightened, supportive, distinguished wisdom. We look again at James chapter 3, verse 13. In James chapter 3, verse 13, who is a wise man? Who is a wise man? I think that's a question that everyone should direct to himself or to herself. Who is a wise man? Am I wise? Am I endued with knowledge? The knowledge of Christ in my relationship with anyone and everyone. Am I wise in my conversation, in my interaction? Am I wise in the things I share with the opposite sex? A man to a woman to a man. I need to examine all this, what I write to them, what they write to me. Am I acting as a wise man? Are you acting as a wise woman? We need to examine what we do, what we say, how we act in the house of God, in the house where we live, on the street, in everywhere. Am I acting? Am I behaving? Am I dressing like a wise man, a wise woman? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, of a good interaction, of a good character, of a good conduct, of a good behavior. If the behavior is not good, you might have a PhD, you might have a doctorate degree, you might have knowledge in this and that. You do not have the knowledge that comes from heaven that will help you to get to heaven. If you're endued with knowledge, the right kind of knowledge, it touches your heart, it transforms your heart, it makes you to live as a saved person, as a real child of God. It says, are you endued with knowledge? It says, let him show out of a good conversation his works, his deeds, his action, his behavior, his habits, with the meekness of wisdom. That's why we're looking at, am I so taught that I'm enlightened? Am I so taught that the teaching makes me a supportive person, not a contradicting person, a distinguished person, having enlightened wisdom, having supportive wisdom, having distinguished wisdom? Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10, it says, if the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. That's what wisdom does. Wisdom is profitable to direct. You're trying to take a decision. You need the word. You need the knowledge of Christ. You need the revelation of Christ. You need the will, the word, the way of Christ that will direct you. Wisdom is profitable to direct. You want to carry out an action, imagination of your mind. Do I do it? How do I do it? Wisdom is profitable to direct. You want to correct somebody, that person needs correction. That man, that woman needs correction. Hold on. Wisdom is profitable to direct. You want to achieve this, achieve that in your personal life, in your professional life. Wisdom is profitable to direct. It is wisdom that directs us. It's a wisdom that will take all the knowledge we have, everything we have learned, and then put them together, jog them together, and bring out the way to act, and the way to go, and the way to do whatever we need to do, because it is wisdom that is profitable to direct. It's like, you know, the technology of today. You have, you know, this information, that information, that information. And you might even have up to, let's say, 100 pieces of information, write-ups. You know, this one has 5 paragraphs, that one has 3 paragraphs. And the AI can help you. You are asking, I want to write this, I want to do this. And you give that instruction, and the AI will investigate and look at all those things you have stored in, you know, your system, and bring out something that will direct you and say, from all these things that you have put in put here, here is what you can do. And all the word of God you have been hearing, all the knowledge of God you have been gathering, it is this, not artificial intelligence now, but the anointed intelligence and the heavenly intelligence that will bring everything together and say, from this teaching, did you hear that time? Did you hear that time? Did you hear that time? And then we'll bring everything together and say, this is the way to go. That is wisdom. The wisdom that directs. But you know, a Christian, a believer that's here and there, no wisdom, no direction, no voice from heaven, no understanding from everything we have been hearing, and just jumps into conclusion and ruins his life. Wisdom is profitable to direct. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, it says, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the leaves of a fool will swallow up himself. The leaves of a fool will swallow up himself. We're coming to 1 Kings chapter 3. We're reading from verse 9. 1 Kings chapter 3. We're reading from verse 9. Here is Solomon praying. The Lord had told Solomon, ask what you want. Here is the prayer of Solomon. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart, and to judge thy people, that I may discern, that's wisdom, between good and evil. And then it says, between good and bad. It says, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people? He asked wisdom from the Lord. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, we're told, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee and before thee. And then it says, neither after thee will or shall any arise like unto thee. God gave him wisdom. But brethren, it's one thing to have the wisdom. We all should have wisdom. We've studied so many books of the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, and we should have had real wisdom that will direct us in everything that we do. Now Solomon, he prayed, Lord, give me an understanding mind, understanding heart. Give me wisdom, the wisdom that will direct and make me direct your people and judge your people aright. And God said, I've given you even the things you didn't ask, I gave you. 1 Kings chapter 11, I'm reading from verse 1. In 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, but King Solomon loved many strange women. Solomon, what happened? He pushed aside the wisdom God gave him. He pushed aside the word of God. God had commanded in Deuteronomy, and he said, this is your wisdom. And when you have any king on the throne of Israel, he will take the book of the law. He will copy, because there was no printing press at that time. He'll copy and he will read every day, all the days of his life. Solomon, the wisdom you have in the book, the word of God, read that, understand that, believe that, apply that, go by the word. That is your wisdom. And the wisdom God gave from above, after you prayed, apply that wisdom. He pushed all that aside. And now we're told he loved many strange women. And they're not people like that. They know the verses of the Bible. They know the doctrines of the Bible. They understand the revelation of the word of God. But now marriage comes. And they push aside everything they have heard. And they deny all the wisdom of God they had had. And now they go on sightseeing what she looks like. And they go on a kind of a fond searching how much money he has. And they will not apply the word of God. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. They forget that beauty is vain, but the woman that loves the Lord and that serves the Lord and that obeys the Lord and goes in the way of righteousness, that woman shall be praised. But Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh. Can you imagine that? Daughter of Pharaoh. And then he goes on to say, women of the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Edomites and the Sidonians and the Hittites. Where is the wisdom? Solomon, I thought you prayed for wisdom. Yes, he did. Wisdom to direct other people. Wisdom to rule other people. Wisdom to judge other people. There are people, the only kind of wisdom they manifest is the wisdom to control other people. The wisdom to direct other people. And the wisdom to counsel other people. They don't have the wisdom to lead themselves. The wisdom to keep their salvation. The wisdom to live a righteous and holy life, that they don't have. Solomon had wisdom, direct other people, wisdom to control other people, wisdom to judge, counsel other people. What do you need to counsel yourself? Look at the way he was going. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, it says, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. It says Solomon clave to these in love. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, and he had 700 wives. Is that wisdom? I said, is that the wisdom of God? No. Why didn't you answer well? Are you sad, sorrowful because explaining the truth to you? What Solomon did, was that the wisdom of God? No. And then we're told, after having 700 wives, were told, and 300 concubines, King Solomon, that asked for the wisdom to direct. And he was still on the throne. He was still directing other people, but he could not direct his own life. And his wives turned away his heart. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, it says, "For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." Look at verse 5. In verse 5, "For Solomon went after Ashtoreth," Solomon, "the god or the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonite." And then the next verse here, it says, "And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord." When you lose the wisdom of God, when your life is not being directed by the wisdom of God, by the word of God, you will do evil. "And he went not fully, wholeheartedly after the Lord, as did David his father." Verse 7. In verse 7, "Then did Solomon build a high place for the Chemosh, the abomination, the idol of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon." He just, you know, went here and there and there. The man was like insane, mad. When we forsake the wisdom of God and we're running after, "I have wisdom, I have wisdom." If you read Ecclesiastes chapter 2, drinking came in, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And worldly music came in, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And then he said, I did this, with the gardens and everything. And then he said, and I say, retained the wisdom that I had. That the wisdom to direct other people, challenge other people, oppress other people, and hinder other people, is still not that kind of wisdom. But the wisdom to direct himself, he didn't have. I must ask you, that's why we're here to study. Do you apply the wisdom of the word of God to your life? Or are you applying it to the lives of other people? Parents, are you applying the word to your life? Or are you only applying it to the lives of your children? "My child, don't do this, don't do this." "But daddy, you're doing exactly what you told us not to do." Shut up, shut up. I am your father. I'm supposed to direct you. You teaching others? Are you not supposed to teach yourself? The mother said, "My daughter, don't do that. I looked at your phone and I saw this and that. Wash that up. Clean that up. Delete that." And your daughter smiles and says, "Mommy, I'm sorry. I don't want to disrespect you, but you do exactly what you are telling me not to do." Your kind of wisdom. Are you applying your wisdom to your life? Are you only directing other people like Solomon? The Lord wants us to address ourselves and to apply the word of God, the wisdom of God, unto our lives. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, it says, "And likewise did he," Solomon, "for all his strange wives, how many kind of sanctuaries or whatever would he have built for all those wives, which burnt incense and sacrifice unto their gods. Verse 9, and the Lord was angry with Solomon. Was angry with wise Solomon. He was angry with the Solomon that had wisdom, but that wisdom was not the word of God applied to his personal life. The Lord will be angry with us if we're trying to exercise wisdom, not the wisdom of God. Exercise wisdom, direct other people, control other people, smash other people, oppress other people, hinder other people, reverse the direction of life of other people, and yet our own lives are not being controlled by the wisdom of God. In Romans chapter 16, we're reading from verse 19. Romans chapter 16, reading from verse 19. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet, I would have you to be wise unto that which is good. Wise unto that which is good, and simple, ignorant concerning evil. It says he wants us, the Spirit of God talking through Paul the Apostle, to be wise, to be wise. Take the word of God, take the word of Christ, read it to understanding, read it, apply it, read it, and live by it, and show that you have the meekness of wisdom. If you do that, verse 20 will follow. In verse 20 it says, the God and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Amen. Good, good, amen. Amen. When we are wise, when we don't borrow the wisdom of Satan from him to use the wisdom of Satan, you cannot conquer the devil if you are using his wisdom, his property. You're using his directives. You're using his manual. You cannot use the manual of Satan and then turn around and conquer Satan. No, you cannot do that. He could not conquer the serpent after having the counsel of the serpent. Adam could not conquer that serpent after using the counsel of the serpent. If the devil is going to be bruised under our feet, then we must be wise unto salvation, and wise unto righteousness, and wise unto sanctification. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. That grace will help us to remain, to abide in the wisdom of God. We're coming to point number three now. Point number three is the evidence and deadliness of earthly wisdom, sensual wisdom, devilish wisdom. Look at verse 14 of James chapter 3. In James chapter 3, but if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. In verse 15, this wisdom descendeth not from above. This wisdom descendeth not from above. You see, there are people, they do not understand there are different kinds of wisdom. They talk about the wise woman. Absalom, the murderer, had been exiled. He exiled himself, actually ran away, when he knew that the king knew what had happened. And Joab was very close to David. And Joab had been having communication with Absalom. And so they said, in the wisdom of a wise woman, that Joab called the woman and said, and put words in her mouth. Tell this story, untrue story. Tell this narrative, deceptive narrative, to David the king, and show how terribly you are suffering, because they want to take your only child that remains. The other one has died, and they want to take him, and you will be led like a widow that has no child. And so Joab put the word in her mouth. Wisdom, the wisdom of Satan. It's not all wisdom that is of God. And eventually the woman went to David, and they say, in her wisdom. And people don't understand, that's not the wisdom of God. And told her story. And David said, wise woman, tell me, is not the hand of Joab with you in this matter? David knew, he understood. Okay, you won't have Absalom back. Call Joab. Joab, you could have spoken to me directly, but you said, your wise woman. Okay, go and bring him back. That kind of wisdom was what unseated David from the throne. Because Absalom was not just a backslider, was a cunning, crafty, cruel backslider, and came back. And after he came back, he now began to strategize, and he began his political maneuvering, and he got Ahithophel, the chief counselor of David, to his side, and got all the others. And you know the story. Eventually, he rose up. He wanted to kill David. And Joab was still the commander-in-chief of the army of David. Now, Joab, tell me, that wisdom you used to bring Absalom back, so that it will demonstrate his cruelty against your captain, against the commander-in-chief, against David. Where is the sense in that kind of wisdom now? War ensued. David was driven away from the throne by the carnal, cruel, crafty wisdom of Joab and Absalom. And eventually, you know the story. It was this same Joab that somebody said, I saw Absalom hanging. He said, what did you do? He said, I didn't do anything. He said, get out of the way. And Joab went there and smote Absalom and killed Absalom. You see that kind of life, like this, like that. And David did not know what to do with him. Well, David should have known. Go back to the word. What does the word say as to how to deal with a deceptive, dubious person like Joab? But he didn't apply the wisdom. He didn't even have the courage. He didn't have the mind. It was when he was going to die that he told Solomon, he said, you see that Joab? Thorn in my throat, in my neck. Deal with him according to your wisdom. And, well, you know the story. The point is, it is not all wisdom that comes from God. And we need to discern that every time. It says this wisdom descendeth not from above, but it's earthly, it's sensual, and it is devilish. And look at them one by one. Number one, there is disqualifying, or there is the disqualification by bitterness. You know, somebody has bitterness, and because of that bitterness, is going to a useless wisdom. Actually, the story I told you now, Ahithophel was a relative, senior relative to Bathsheba, that David defiled, that David killed the husband. And Ahithophel was chief counselor to David. And since that thing happened, in wisdom, Ahithophel kept quiet. But he was bitter because of what David had done to Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba. And now the chance came. So very quickly, Ahithophel joined the camp of Absalom and assured him, you know I have wisdom. I've been the counselor of your father. In this battle, if I remained with your father and I counsel him, no way, you couldn't survive it. But I come to join you. The man had bitterness against David. But, you know, David, yes, he backslid. Yes, he sinned. Yes, he did what he shouldn't have done. Read Psalm 51. He repented. He pleaded with God. He prayed, wash me, and I shall be clean. Purge me, I shall be whiter than snow. He confessed a sin. The Lord forgave him. Now he could pray, Lord, turn the counsel, the wisdom of Ahithophel to foolishness. And so Ahithophel gave his own counsel to Absalom. And so Absalom called another person, actually a spy for David, and said, tell us, what should we do? He said, the wisdom, the counsel of Ahithophel is not good at this time. Any wisdom coming from bitterness, it's not good for our church. Any counseling coming from revenge is not good in our church. Any wisdom coming from retaliation is done this, and then we use wisdom so that we can triple the man. Maybe what he said wasn't good enough. Maybe what he did was not good enough. But the bitterness that generates that kind of wisdom, Lord, turn the wisdom, the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. And so the other fellow said, the counsel of Ahithophel is not good at this time. I counsel, let's do it this way. When you go back home, you can read the text yourself. And then Absalom said, wonderful. The Lord was answering the prayer of David. He will answer your prayer. When Ahithophel saw that, he knew the battle was lost. And so he went to his house, put some things in order, and he committed suicide. A man that didn't know how to go back to God and say, God, I've done wrong in joining Absalom. Forgive me, and I'll go back to David. I will do your will. A man that did not have the wisdom to direct his life and stay alive. And he went to commit suicide. By the way, you know, anyone that commits suicide, thou shalt not kill, he goes to hell straight. A man that with his own hand, with his own thought, with his own action, sent himself to an eternal hell. Where is the wisdom? Bitterness cannot manifest the right wisdom. Revenge, retaliation cannot manifest the right wisdom. Look at number two here. Number two is the dishonesty in envy. Look at that, because it tells us that if there is envy, then there is no wisdom there. Somebody is doing well, somebody is going the right direction, somebody is succeeding, and because of that you have envy. And now you begin to generate thoughts and ideas, what I will do, what I will say, how I will act. Any idea, any imagination coming from envy is not wisdom from God. It tells us in Philippians, I'm reading from chapter 1 verse 15, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife. Can you imagine preaching out of envy and strife? And some also of goodwill. And then he tells us in the next verse there, in verse 16. Verse 16, it says, the one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Any kind of wisdom that has envy embedded in it, that wisdom is not from above. It's earthly, it's sensual, and it is devilish. Number three is the depravity in strife. The depravity in strife. Philippians chapter 2 verse 3. In Philippians chapter 2 verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. Let nothing, let preaching not be done with strife and vainglory. Let ushering in the church not be done with strife or vainglory. Let no work, leading house fellowship, holding a district church, a group church, being a rep, anyone, women's ministry, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look at verse 21. In verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ, all seeking to shine above others, all seeking to be elevated above others. That's not working for God. Whatever wisdom we manifest in such a situation, it's become competition. It's like that, I'm like this. And then you want to edge out the other person so that you are the all in all. That kind of wisdom is earthly. That kind of wisdom is sensual. That kind of wisdom is devilish. We're looking at number four here, is the destructiveness of earthly wisdom. The destructiveness of earthly wisdom in Philippians chapter 3 verse 18. Philippians 3 verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. When competition comes in, we're no more holding up, lifting up the cross of Christ. We're no more lifting up Calvary. We're no more lifting up Christ, the Savior. All we're doing now is the kind of wisdom that wants ourselves to be known. and Christ to be forgotten. Then it goes on to say in verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and who glory in their shame, who mind earthly things. When politics comes in the assembly of the children of God, we mind earthly things. When exchange of money now comes into having that position and that position and that privilege, the world has come in. That wisdom is earthly wisdom. Number five is the defilement of sensual wisdom. The defilement of sensual wisdom. When we have fellowship and we just dealt with proper understanding of fellowship in our last workers training on Saturday. But when that fellowship, and how we help each other, and as we're going back home, can I join your vehicle so you can, drive me home? Yes, that's all right. We're going the same way, coming. And that's fellowship. Helping one another is good. But when that fellowship, when that help degenerates to sensuality, and then the man begins to say, sister, I've been helping you, transporting you up and down. Are you not going to give me something? What? I don't have money, that's why I need your help. I'm not talking of money. And then you're becoming sensual, abominable, immoral. And then if they look into the thing and the lady says, okay, I'm not going with you anymore, you are the first person to go and accuse that lady of something, of what you intended. Now, the church shall be following the word of God. If a false witness comes against somebody, so that this will be done to that person, we should make diligent inquisition and find out what this man is saying. Is it true? He's using carnal wisdom to come here, go here, and already blackmail the lady that doesn't want to do evil. And eventually you call them together, and the innocent poor woman is the one that go and sit down. You are not straightforward. You are not fit for the work. What kind of wisdom is that? It is a wisdom that is earthly, sensual, and devilish. The man himself, if he wants to get to heaven, will not be rejoicing, I'm still doing the work, I'm still doing this. We should come out straight. Don't be like a person that is hiding there, like David, hiding what he had done for those 9 months until the child was born, until the child died. And eventually Nathan had to come, and the man was still judging, was still walking. That's not the wisdom of God. And Nathan said, this. Oh, David was quick to judge. That man that has done that will suffer for that. And Nathan said, thou art the man. Anybody here today that is using carnal wisdom, crafty wisdom, cruel wisdom, and you're still walking in the church, but you are hiding a lot of sensuality underneath you. If you die in that condition, hell, fire, forever and ever. Repent, and let the church be the church. And all these kind of wisdom, carnal wisdom, will not be in our midst anymore, in Jesus' name. And so there is, a kind of sensual wisdom. We're looking at Jude. In Jude, we're looking at chapter 1, verse 8. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. It tells us in verse 13, it says, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. That's why they're sensual. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And then it tells us in verse 19, it says, these be they who separate themselves, holier than thou attitude, sensual, having not the Spirit. We come to number six there. Number six is the downfall through devilish wisdom. Devilish wisdom. In Ezekiel chapter 28, the Lord revealed the original wisdom of Lucifer. And how he used the wisdom to corrupt himself, its beauty to corrupt himself and the people. And now he's lost heaven. And because he has lost heaven, and he knew, even the demons that followed him, they knew they are going to hell. That's why they said, have you come to torment us before the time? Now, Satan knows he has lost heaven, and he wants also many other people to lose heaven. That's why he's a kind of distributing, donating his wisdom. You want wisdom? Get. You want wisdom? Get. You will not have, you will not possess the wisdom of the devil in Jesus' name. Better not to have any wisdom at all than to have the wisdom of the devil, devilish wisdom. And now number seven is the destiny of evil workers. The destiny of evil workers. Those who are evil in what they do, and they cover it by earthly wisdom, sensual wisdom, devilish wisdom. It says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 2, it says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, evil workers, evil workers. We're in the work of the Lord, in the ministry to do good, to preach the gospel, to make sinners repent, to make sinners turn from the way of darkness unto the way of light. But if you're now a worker and believers are backsliding through you, and good people are changing their minds, they're becoming corrupted through you, and teenagers have been led the wrong way, instructing them to do this and do that, so that the church will not remain pure, holy, steadfast, sanctified. You are an evil worker. And he tells the rest of us, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. Revelation chapter 22. We're reading from verse 15. For without, outside, are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and the idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Whosoever loveth, obviously, there's no more a believer. When we got converted, all the lies were confessed, all the deception were confessed, all the dubious ways were confessed and forsook. Now, if you are back to that again, and you are inventing a lie, manufacturing a lie, making a lie, you lie against yourself, you've done something good which you didn't do, and you're looking for favor because of that. Here comes a young man that ran to David and said, David, where are you coming from? I'm coming from the battlefield. What did you see there? Saul, your enemy is dead. How do you know that Saul is dead? I was there, and he fell, and he was suffering. And he said, anybody there that can help me and kill me so that these Philistines will not come and kill me? And I picked the sword. It was all a lie against himself. And I killed him. You killed the anointed of the Lord. And then David said, fall on him. And he died prematurely and went to hell unprepared, because he lied against himself. Other people that lying against others, instead of a fellowship of truthful people, transparent people, honest people, now you have that hypocrite there, that liar there, that deceiver there, and that, corrupter there. All those evil workers, he says, outside, without, at the dogs and the sorcerers and the whoremongers and the murderers and the idolaters, and whosoever, no respect of persons with God, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. The Lord help every one of us to be free from all these kinds of wisdom that are not of God, and come back to the Word of God and have the proper wisdom that will transform our life, that will make us live the way we ought to live, the wisdom of the Word. God give you understanding in everything. Let's rise up now and talk to the Lord in prayer and tell him we've heard today of the wisdom that we ought to have. Tell him, I'm sure you got something personal, something profound from the teaching of the Word of God, the place of wisdom. Heavenly wisdom, the place of wisdom, scriptural wisdom, the place of wisdom, instructive wisdom, the place of wisdom, inspired wisdom, inspiring wisdom, the place of wisdom in a man's life, in a man's destiny. Look over your life. Think over your life. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart today. Try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every evil. Evil thoughts, evil wisdom. Cleanse me from every sin that is evil. Make me clean. Tell him. What kind of wisdom have you been living by? Like Solomon? Are you directing other people? Controlling other people, oppressing other people? Wisdom, wisdom. He abandoned the real wisdom God had given him, and he began to use fleshly wisdom. Strange wife, another strange wife, 10, 20, 30, 100, 200, 700 wives in a lifetime, having all of them together. And he had to now have the wisdom, the earthly wisdom, to keep them. 700 women, wives,
for a man of wisdom. Then concubines, 1, 2, 10, 20, 100, 150, 200, 300 concubines. Solomon, that had wisdom from God, he abandoned all that wisdom. All the wisdom you have got, coming to the Bible study, all the wisdom you've got, coming all these many years, hearing the revelation of the word of God, have you abandoned all the wisdom you have learned? And then what you pick up from the roadside, what you pick up from the people of the world, what you pick up from social media, what you pick up from all those sides of the road actors, is what you are now using. How wise are you? Pray to the Lord. Let him examine you. Let him examine your life and come back to the wisdom of the word of God. Purge me, let him purge you. Wash me, let him wash you. There's no wisdom in retaliation. That's what killed Ahithophel. Wisdom. There's no wisdom in supplanting other people. That's what spelled the doom, the damnation of Absalom. Joab couldn't talk straight, and yet he was the chief of staff for David, for David's army. He could have spoken to David directly. You have something in mind to call Absalom back? Go talk to David. He went to a so-called wise woman. Come tell the story. To David, wise, wise woman. Where did the wisdom of the wise woman lead to? It led to the death of Absalom. It led to the death eventually of Joab. It led to running David out of the throne. Wisdom. It led to the death of Ahithophel to commit suicide. Wisdom. What kind of wisdom are you perpetrating, distributing, teaching, instigating people? Wisdom. Examine that wisdom. Examine the wisdom you operate by in your own family. Wisdom. Bitterness is not of God. Strife, it's not of God. Any kind of wisdom that generates bitterness, and you're fighting a bitter fight, you have bitter struggle, bitter strife, wisdom. You can hide it behind the door. You can hide it inside a surrogate, inside another person who is not wise enough to think about his life and his destiny. And you pass that evil wisdom to them. Do this, do this. God knows by him all actions are weighed. The wisdom in envy. Envy. You're envious of Paul. How can this injurious man, murderer, sinner, come now and he becomes the chief of the apostles? How can? He's having success there, having success there. We know his history. And so envy now comes up. And the kind of wisdom you're trying to manifest is being generated by envy. That earthly wisdom, instead of following the Bible, we're following Shakespeare's plays. We're following the wisdom of the writers of the world. Many of those writers openly say they don't believe in God, they don't believe in the Bible. Some of those writers, they openly declare that the wisdom they use is they don't have anything to do with Jesus Christ. And all you are going by is the wisdom of literature. Are you reading your Bible? Are you studying your Bible? Are you applying the wisdom of the Word of God? Wisdom. And the sensual wisdom that is immersing you in pornography. Wisdom. Sensual wisdom that brings defilement instead of pure love that's lost your heart towards men, towards women. And you know how to cage them. You know how to invite them. You know how to imprison them with sensual wisdom. They fall for you, but you will fall into hell. Sensual wisdom. Devilish wisdom. Lucifer and wisdom. Devilish wisdom. The devil has wisdom. Anyone who could deceive Adam, created in the image of God, after the likeness of God, anyone who could trick Eve to eat the forbidden fruit, and yet God had said, the day you eat it, you will die. Anyone that could trick such people, deceive such people, entice such people, wisdom, devilish wisdom. But where will Lucifer end? Where will the devil end? Where will the demons end? Hell fire. And the people who trade in the wisdom, in the coins of Lucifer, Satan, demons, the devil. You're in the same trade. You share the same destiny, hellfire. And there is the destiny of evil workers. Don't forget. Don't forget. You're an evil worker. You're not working for God. You're not working for good. You're not working for the gospel. You're not working for righteousness. You're not working for holiness. You're not working for the sanctification of the body of Christ. An evil worker. You are bringing down believers, destroying believers, injecting evil poison into the Christian lives of believers. You are wise in doing that, ingenious in doing that, crafty, clever in doing that. Remember, all evil workers will have the destiny in hell fire forever and ever. Repent. Return to the Lord. Let him have mercy on you. Wash me, and I shall be clean. Purge me, and I shall be white. I shall be whiter than snow. He that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. He that turneth away his ear from hearing my word, his prayer shall be abomination. In wisdom, possess ye your souls. In wisdom, preserve your salvation. In wisdom, promote sanctification. In wisdom, let the work of God prosper. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, we thank you for the entrance of your word that brings light. Thank you, Lord, for the word you have spoken to every one of us to make us understand. Lord, thank you. Your spirit has given us understanding. We pray, Lord, you grant us the grace to make personal application of your word to our lives, to our action, to our behavior, to our conduct, to our character, in Jesus' name. And we pray the salvation of the Lord will shine forth in every life, in every family, in every place of work. The salvation of the Lord will shine forth in our interaction together, in Jesus' name. We pray that none of us will die the death of Absalom. We will not die the death of wise Ahithophel. We will not die the death of clever, crafty Joab, in Jesus' name. We will not do the work of the so-called wise woman that will send David out of the throne eventually, in Jesus' name. Cancel bitterness from every heart. Cancel strife from every heart. Cancel vainglory from every heart. And cancel evil envy from every heart, in Jesus' name. Cleanse us of earthly wisdom. purge us of sensual wisdom. And Lord, burn away all of devilish wisdom from our hearts, our lives, our homes, in Jesus' name. None of us will continue to be an evil worker. Let the wisdom of heaven, the wisdom of God, the wisdom of your word reign and rule in every life, in every member, in every minister, in every Christian worker, and in all of us who have heard your word tonight, in Jesus' name. In your wisdom, make us prosper. In your wisdom, let your work prosper in our hands. In your wisdom, use us to bring people into the kingdom and to make your disciples steadfast in your kingdom, in Jesus' name. And reward us for faithful service. Reward your people for faithful service. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.